May the Lord help us to worship him this evening, commencing with hymn number 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint, and die. Hymn 1068.
Thank you. This evening I wish to read from three portions of God's holy word. Firstly, in the book of Genesis chapter 30, and we will read from verse 25 to 36. Firstly, the book of Genesis chapter 30. And we'll commence reading at verse 25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto mine own place, and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favour in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own household also? And he said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything, if thou wilt do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire, before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now let us turn to Paul's epistle to the Romans, Chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, reading part of this chapter. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read the first 11 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And now lastly, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we will read the whole chapter. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek to come before thy throne, pleading the name and blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And O Lord, we do thank thee for that new and living way that thou hast consecrated for us within the veil, that thou hast granted us an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace, though we ourselves feel so unworthy, so sinful, so unfit, so not right to come and stand before Almighty God. O Lord, we do thank thee that it is he that is seen instead of us as we approach to God. O Lord, we do shelter beneath thy precious blood and seek that there is that voice that speaks for us in heaven's high court for good. Lord, as we gather here this evening at Swayze, we seek thy blessing upon our gathering, to grant, Lord, that thou wouldst bless each one gathered, though in their own home, yet, Lord, we gather around thy word, and we do pray that thou wouldst bless those who may have joined with us also through other means and through from the friends from other causes of truth. We do seek, Lord, thy blessing on each that gathers this evening. And, O Lord, be pleased to make to work for good this, that though we feel it so painfully that we cannot meet in thy house, we cannot see one another, we cannot hear each other directly, Lord, we thank thee for the means that thou hast given and pray thy blessing to be upon it. Do bless the hymns that are given out, bless the dear deacons, and do help them at this time in guiding the flock, and be pleased to bless them in due time, that there might be an under-shepherd granted to them to go in and out amongst them. And Lord, do remember us at Cranbrook and other causes of truth that may have a pastor but do not have a deacon. And we do seek, Lord, that thou remember the Church of God and supply those officers and those that are gifted in various ways. We thank thee for the younger generation and those that are not so young that have the skills and abilities to be able to handle the technology at this time. And, O Lord, we do seek of thee that this might be amongst those all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are the called according to thy purpose. And we do see, Lord, that each one in their individual lives, that those things that may touch them at this time may work for their soul's eternal good. We pray, Lord, for grace and help equal to our day. We do seek of thee a spirit of prayer and supplication. And, Lord, we do seek life in our souls. O Lord, do not cast us from thy presence, but do bless us with spiritual life, and that we might live upon thee. O bless this evening's gathering to this end. Lord, we come to thy word, and has been asked before this service. O do grant thy Holy Spirit, for we need thy help. We need thy help to speak. We need thy help to hear. We need thy help to bless the word, to speaker and hearer alike. O Lord, do descend in that power from heaven, thy word that shall not return unto thee void, but shall accomplish the thing whereto thou didst send it. O make it to work for good in our hearts, that we might say that we have truly profited, we have received, we have heard, we have seen the Saviour. We have been brought out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Our feet have been set upon a rock. Thou hast established our goings. Thou hast put a song in our mouth. O Lord, we need thee to do these things for us and hear prayer for any poor soul that has turned in this evening that is feeling very low indeed. It may be, have already this week or on thy day listen to the services of thy house, and yet have felt such a hard heart. They felt not to have profited or got on well at all. And, O Lord, that now long for thy word, and do seek that thou hast come and speak to them this evening. O Lord, do grant that the expectation Thy people might not be disappointed. But Lord, as we gather round thy word, our expectation is from thee. O lift us up above man. And Lord, we seek that thou would open thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing, although that living thing, that living soul, might not feel to have much life and might feel that their desires are very poor and feeble and are not worthy even of a right desire, blessing. But, O Lord, for thy great name's sake, do come and water thy garden and cause there to be the spices flow forth, and that thy people might receive of thy fullness and of thy goodness this evening. O do lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Bless each family. Bless the children, the little ones. Help them to be with them. Be with those that look after the young tonight and not able to hear, but may hear part of the message. We do seek that what they hear might be blessed to them. And the children that may be able to hear, O Lord, do grant a portion for them and help them in this time of their lives that no doubt naturally speaking they nor we will forget, but remember it as a very marked time in our lives. And O Lord, do grant that it might be for reasons of blessings for our soul in this time that we remember it. O Lord, we do pray for our dear age friends. Help them, bless them, be with them. Be with those in bereavement. We know of many bereaved, and do comfort them and do help them. Those who attend to funerals, have done today, will do later in the week. We do seek for that help for them in their sorrows and in their need. And, O Lord, be pleased to grant that help for those that are not touched by these things. Lord, that do not even seek help, that thou hast opened their ears and that thou hast passed by them and bid them live. O Lord, do begin that gracious, blessed, saving work of grace in sinners' hearts, and where thou hast begun, do continue it. We know that thou hast said that thou wilt, but thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And Lord, when we feel to stagnate, when we feel to be in such a low place and not going anywhere, but feeling rather to go backward, to grow worse rather than better, O Lord, we would put thee in remembrance of that promise that we shall grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. O forsake not the work of thine own hands. We make intercession for the people of Swazi. O Lord, thou hast placed the candlestick, the place of worship, here in this town, and we do seek thy blessing upon each one, and those who have desired to come and hear thy word, do bless them through thy word tonight. And Lord, we pray for our land. We pray for those in authority over us. O Lord, be pleased to give them wisdom, direction, and help, and that they might know how to rightly advise the nation as to the way forward at this time. We lay a petition for that time when we trust that we shall return to our church buildings. We know that it shall be gradual, and we pray for grace and help at that time. And we do seek that none might be left out, and those that may be feeling apprehensive that at such time they shall lose a ministry that they now have, be pleased to supply thy dear people. And, O Lord, do grant that those who are able to come to thy house will always do so. And do grant that those who cannot come may always have a means of grace and to hear thy word. So we do pray for those that are in their own homes, those that are in the Pilgrim and Bethesda homes. We seek the blessing upon thy dear aged pilgrims. O Lord, do help us now. We do seek thy blessing and help in preaching the word. O Lord, leave us not without thy help, though we are undeserving of it. Fulfill the petitions of thy people prior to this meeting, and Lord, that thou hast be pleased to come through thy word and help them and help us each. Do help our dear friends in leading the singing. We do pray thy blessing upon the hymns, and Lord, we thank thee for one another in the Lord. Bless the brethren, be with the brethren, unite us as thou hast done in love one to another. Unite us round thy word tonight. Forgive us our many, many sins. Exalt thy beloved Son. Make his precious blood precious. Make his name precious. Do make, Lord, the power of his name to be known in our midst. And may we know that thou hast come and given us an understanding that we have been taught by thee and of thee, and that we are drawn to thee by a Father's love, and that we shall at last be with thee in heaven. O make us that prepared people for a prepared place. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. Hymn 893.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to our last reading, Hebrews chapter 5, and reading for our text, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. This is speaking of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Though he was the eternal Son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. In other words, it was that in walking a path of obedience, he learned by experience what it was to enter into the sorrows, into the path of his people, and especially to enter into death itself. The verse before speaks of this, that he entered into death and that he had with strong cries, crying and tears with unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. And so it speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ and the experience that he went through in a path of obedience. The context tells us the benefit and the blessing for the people of God that was. And I want, with the help of the Lord this evening, to speak to you on the subject of learning by experience. Because not only our Lord walked this path, but all the people of God also, as they walk a path of obedience, and because they are the sons of God, they will also learn by experience the things of God. We must not learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task, those things that are walked out, they are known and they are felt. And so I want to begin this evening with our Lord and his path, and then come to our path. And when thinking of that, thinking of the specific time that we are living in now, and desiring that it might be amongst those all things that work together for good, and that in the experience that we are going through, that there is real spiritual teaching and profit in it. But I want to speak to you first on our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The emphasis at the beginning of the verse is that he was a son. He is the eternal Son of God. But the way that it is put before us here, that being a son did not excuse him from this path and from walking it out. The Father did not withhold his only begotten Son, but sent him forth into this world, sent him forth from glory, the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. And he came from the Father and was to return again unto the Father. But in between those times, There was that which he was to experience and walk through, that the blessings of it could not flow unless he actually came and walked through those things he did. It could not have been done from heaven. Our Lord could not have remained in heaven with his Father and accomplished what he has accomplished, because what he accomplished was to be accomplished on this earth as God and as man in one person, really and truly God and really and truly man, that he might experience as a man, as the seed of Abraham, that he might experience what his people experience, but he might experience also death, and death would be by a voluntary act, because there is no cause of death in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must die. It cannot be a voluntary act for us, because we must die. But with our Lord, it was a voluntary act. He laid down his life. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And so I draw this first thought before you, that the very fact that he was a son not only did not excuse him from a path of suffering, but it meant that it was necessary that he should, to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, he must go through it. We think of the two things that the Lord must vitally do while he was upon earth. He must work out a robe of righteousness for his people. His life must be a life that should be imputed to those that believe. A perfect life, a sinless life, a life that was to be a covering for his people. And so all that he did in this world, he did to glorify his Father which was in heaven, and the Father glorified him in the things that he did, the miracles that he did at his Father's command, and they glorified his Father. And so with our Lord Jesus Christ, though he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, he was wearied with his journey at the well. He suffered, bearing the weight of his people's sin and groaning under it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Though his back was torn with the scourge and his feet and his hands pierced with the nails, the Lord's brow pierced with the thorns, though he suffered those things, that path was a needful path, a needful path to fulfill the scriptures that were told of him in all his sufferings, especially as set before us in Isaiah 53, as he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He needed to endure the wrath of God due to sin. His sacrifice was to be a wrath-ending sacrifice, a propitiation for sin, a sacrifice that satisfied the justice of God, that did not leave anything left to be endured by those for whom he stood and for whom he laid down his life. And so he must needs pass through this path. He says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Our Lord's path was a path of obedience. His coming to this world was a path of obedience. Every miracle, the things that he did at the command of his Father. I received a commandment of my Father, what I should speak and what I should do. And those things that he did in obedience, they necessarily brought him into a path of suffering. The obedience brought him into this lower world. How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I bear with you? And it was the path of obedience that brought him to this lower world. It was the path of obedience that brought him to the cross. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the desire to do the will of his Father that sent him led him in each step of the way. And each step of the way had with it the difficulties, the sorrows, the distresses, whether from man or from Satan, as he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, whether it be even in the suffering of the ordinances. Suffer it to be so now. And he suffered him. He was baptized. The Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience, actually experienced being put below the water and lifted up again. And that which he experienced because of obedience. And I say again, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Don't ever think that the fact that he was the Son of God then excused him from a path of obedience, or excused him from a path of, when he obeyed, not actually experiencing the consequences of that obedience. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience, or he learned by obeying what it was to suffer. He learned what it was to obey in the experience of it. We hope to come later to transfer these thoughts to our own obedience. But for the moment, I want to consider our Lord Jesus Christ, because the end result of his obedience was the salvation of all the people of God. What if his life was not a path of obedience? What righteousness would he then have to give and impute to his people? What if his sacrifice had not taken away the wrath of God? The tomb would not be empty. The Lord would not have risen. The work would not have been finished and done. The obedience of our Lord was absolutely vital, and therefore the sufferings that were joined with that were vital as well. And the blessings that flow from that flow to every child of God, to the sons of God. And it is because their Lord and Saviour has walked this path that they also are to have a path of obedience. And that path of obedience will also be as taking up the cross and following the Lord. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and the blessing to the church of God, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, that he should bear the sin of many, that he should make intercession for the transgressors, that he should bring in an everlasting righteousness, that he should accomplish the salvation of his church. And the emphasis here, in our text here, is that the blessings to the church of God was through the obedience of Christ. The hymn writer says, "In Christ obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." If you and I are saved, if your sins are put away and my sins are put away, it is through Christ's obedience. Now our Lord then joins this, and he joins it with his people, that they also are to have fellowship with the Lord in his sufferings. And thinking of our subject tonight, his sufferings because of his obedience. Dear friends, we do not need to seek suffering. We do not need to seek tribulation. We do not need to know what it shall be that we shall have to endure in the Christian pathway. The Lord has set before us, as he did before the Apostle Paul, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And those things came upon him as soon as he turned from being the persecutor to being the one that was calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord says in John 17, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." Why? Because when the Lord gives his word to his people, and his people then begin to obey that word and walk in that word, then the world hate that. We are to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of nature's darkness and into his marvellous light. And that the way that we are to do that is in obedience to the Lord. The Lord said to those in John 8 that believed on his name, that is, they believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of God. And he said to them that if they were to continue in his word, then they would be disciples indeed. They should know the truth, and the truth should make them free. As yet, there were many things that they would have to learn, and that the way that they were to learn that was to continue in the word of God, in obedience to it, walking according to that word. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." And our Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate word. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we follow the Lord in obedience to his word and the way that he'd have us to go. And he says, "They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And it is a taking up of that cross of obedience that is where we learn by experience. Learn in the path of being a follower of the Lord. So in our text, it says that our Lord, by obedience, that he learned the path of suffering and experienced what it was to obey. And so it is the Lord's ordained purpose and way for his dear children to do so as well. Perhaps if we go to the beginning or early part of the Word of God and we think of those that walked by faith, and we think of Abel. Abel had been shown by God, and no doubt Cain as well, but he saw fit not to obey in the way that God would have him to go. And Abel, he offered a sacrifice, we're told a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and it was because it was a blood sacrifice. It was the offering that God had appointed and what clearly showed what was needed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission that Christ should come and die, the seed of the woman, to bruise the serpent's head. But what was the consequence of that? The obedience. He believed here Abel was a true son of God by adoption, one of the chosen of the Lord and adopted into the living family of God, made known because of his obedience, the faith that God gave him to walk in the way that was pleasing to him. And as he walked in that way, his own brother rose up against him and slew him. He was to learn what it was to walk in the path of obedience. We think of Abraham as well. And we are told, and James takes this up, that Abraham was justified by works. And some have questioned with the epistle of James, should it even be in the Word of God? Because it seems to counter what Paul was teaching concerning Abraham in Romans, where Romans clearly sets forth that Abraham was justified by faith and that it was the path that he walked by faith. But how James puts it forth, it was as if he was to say, if Abraham had just stayed where he was and said, Lord, I believe that even if I slay and offer up Isaac, my son, I believe that you are able to raise him from the dead. And he stayed where he was. That Abraham would not have been justified. He would not have been accounted free from guilt. He would not have been seen to have actually really believing what he said he believed, because he didn't walk it out, but he did walk it out. And so James says that he was justified by works when he offered up his son. So he takes his son. And what does it mean? You trace the steps of that dear man with his son, and he's just the same as you and I, walking by faith. He did not know the end of the matter. We do. He didn't. You might say he was like Elijah, a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, twice he denied his wife because of the fear of man. Don't think Abraham did not have fear in that way. But as he walks then, those 3 days and the beginning of the third day going up the mountain. My father, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? That piercing question of Isaac. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham firmly believed that Isaac was the promised seed and that the seed, Christ, must come through Isaac. How it was to be that he should be slain, and yet that seed go. Abraham left with the Lord, he obeyed. And then as he obeyed, there he found right at the very end that the angel stayed his hand, provided the ram in the thicket, and a substitute offering was offered in the place of his son. But the experience that Abraham went through, in all of the feelings and all that was said, and the blessing was, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Therefore in blessing I will bless thee. In thee and in thy seed will all nations be blessed. And so it is the obedience, and then was joined with that, the cross, the trial, the path that he was to actually walk in. And this is what the Lord would have his people know. We might think, well, because we are a child of God, the Lord will exclude us from certain sufferings or trials. Now, it is very true that we have many precious promises in the Word, and especially regarding pestilences and troubles, the Lord will take care and watch over his dear people. We can and we do trust in the shadow of his wings. It is very true that in Egypt, the Lord made, after a few of the first trials, that the children of Israel did not suffer as the Egyptians did. There is a marked difference. The Lord put a difference between them. But in the world, in the gospel day, when the people of God are scattered throughout the world, many of the Lord's dear people, they have suffered with the ungodly in the famines, in the wars, in the pestilences, in those things that come upon them. And those that have had large families in days of the plagues, in years gone by, I think it was James Nye, if I remember right, had 10 children. And one of the plagues that came then, he, one after another, he lost so many of those children. Very poor, he struggled to get something black so that they could attend the funerals. But he saw the devastating effect, and he was a godly man, a God-fearing man. And yet he walked through this path. You know, Jeremiah, faithfully warning the people of God, telling them of God's coming judgment, seeking to bring them back to the true and living God. And yet when the judgments come, the Lord did mercifully preserve Jeremiah's life. He gave him favor in the eyes of many, and many helps. But that desolation he saw, he walked through it with the people. Ezekiel, he sat where they sat. He went with the captives. He was with them. You think of those in Babylon. You think of the path, because of obedience, that the three Hebrew children went through, because they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Therefore, he cast them into the burning fiery furnace. But there in the furnace, the Lord appears for them and preserves their lives, and they come out with not even the smell of fire upon them. The profound effect that that had upon the king. And then we have the case with Daniel, how that there was the command that none should pray unto any other but the king for 30 days. But Daniel continues to cry unto his God 3 times a day, opening his windows towards Jerusalem. And so he's cast into the lion's den. The consequences of obedience for Daniel's friends, for Daniel himself, was to walk this path of into the den, into the fire. The Lord wonderfully delivered, but it was a path that they had to walk in. It is this Lord's sovereignty, whether he delivers or not. We think of the martyrs that have gone before us in this land, many of them, that they obeyed their Lord, sometimes in just one point of doctrine that they would not let go, concerning the elements of the Lord's Supper, many of them, because they would not allow that their bread was actually turned into the body of Christ, or the wine into the blood of Christ. That it was emblems. It was not another sacrifice. There is one sacrifice at Calvary, and one only. and not another one. That is so vital. That was why, one reason why Moses and Aaron could not go into the promised land, because instead of speaking to the rock that had already been smitten once, he smote it twice, and he spoke angrily. It's quite an amazing thing with Moses, because he says to the people, "Must we bring water out of this rock, ye rebels?" And he calls them rebels. But then later on, God says to Moses and Aaron that you will not go into the promised land because you rebelled against me in the matter of Meribah. And so while Moses was seeing the rebellion of the people of God, he wasn't realizing he was also walking in that path of rebellion. And it was over the issue that he destroyed the type of one sacrifice, one smitten rock once only, and did not obey the Lord. The Lord told him to speak, and he smote instead. And we might say in that, the consequence that Moses and Aaron walked was a consequence of disobedience. And we are reminded of that as well. With our Lord, there was no possibility of disobedience. But with us, there is. And it is because we are sons. If we obey, then there is an experience of walking in that obedience that may be sufferings, may be trial, but certainly a spiritual blessing and eternal life. But with disobedience, the Lord has said, and in Hebrews 12, it's clearly set forth that every son whom he receiveth, he'll chasten, he'll correct. So the path of disobedience has the experience of being chastened and corrected by God. The lash is steeped, he on thee lays, yet softened in his blood. And so the path of a son of God, really the experience of the people of God, greatly surrounds the obedience or disobedience to the word of God. And it is learning by that path. Now you might wonder why we read the portion we did with Laban, or with Genesis. And it is Laban that I wish to draw your attention to, because in Genesis 30 and verse 27 is when Jacob, he wanted to leave Laban, he wanted to go away. But Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favour in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." There's a couple of beautiful things there. It's a blessing of one for the sake of another. And isn't that the whole gospel? God's dear children are blessed for Christ's sake. I wonder how often we end our prayers or speak in prayer for Christ's sake and don't really think what we are saying. Here it is. The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. How many times have we been able to say before the Lord hath blessed me for Christ's sake? That's why the blessing has come, because of what he has done. You know, the time when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed and Lot was there and God had told Abraham what he was going to do, and Lot made intercession for Lot. He never named Lot, but you knew who was on his heart. And as he then was pleading with the Lord, right down from 50 down to 10, that if there were 10, the Lord would not destroy it for 10's sake, but there weren't 10. And we read that when God destroyed Sodom, then he remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of the overthrow. It was remembering Abraham and the blessings that come to the people of God are because of the Lord Jesus Christ, his intercession for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me. And his will is that they be not taken out of the world, but kept from the evil, or from entering into evil as that would injure their souls. We read in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The Lord's purpose is that his people are to obey him and leave the issue with the Lord. And whatever happens in that obedience, the experience of it will be for their good, for their teaching, for their instruction, for their enriching, for their strengthening of their souls. But sadly, so often, how we faint and we disobey, but God in his great mercy even uses that disobedience, though it be a way of transgressors, is hard, yet uses it for good. But anyone that would want to sin that grace might abound, you've only got to look at the life of dear Jacob. You think Jacob, he deceived his father once, and what he reaped was Laban deceived him 10 times, and in the most tender of places too, regarding the wife that he wanted to marry. And then his 12 sons or 11 sons deceived him in the matter of Joseph and made out that he was dead, and he believed that for 20 years. Jacob, he reaps what he sowed, and we will as well. The path of blessing is in the path of obedience. Nevertheless, God will turn blessing upon disobedience, but it'll be a hard path, a path with the rod, a path knowing in ourselves that we are walking in forbidden paths, and a path that we won't want to repeat. And yet we do so sadly. And I want to think about this present virus that is with us. And you know, I remember preaching to you concerning wherever there is a sickness, whatever pestilence sickness there is, that every man that shall know the plague of his own heart. And you know, these trials, these things that come, they do reveal things about us that we didn't know before at all. And I've wondered, I've tried to pray for you. I wondered how you're getting on. I can't ask you, see you face to face, but I can ask you to answer in your own consciences and before God. How are you getting on through this time of lockdown, this time when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when many of our countrymen have suffered an early death, unexpected one, that our lives have been restrained. We've had to be absent from the house of God. Some have been very sick. Some of you may have been. Some have had bereavements of loved ones taken from them. The children haven't been able to go to school. It had to be schooled at home. Some, their education put back. Others have had loss of earnings or loss of jobs. Or instead of working from their place of worship at work, they must go and try to work at home with the children around, and maybe on the living room table while everything's going on around them. Our lives have been profoundly changed, along with the rest of the nation. And yet for the people of God, that we are to seek to walk in the path of obedience and to walk before the Lord in this path, in each changing scene in life's journey, that we seek in that path to walk as the Lord would have us to walk, to speak as the Lord would have us to speak, to act in the way that he'd have us to act. And I don't know about you, but I found this a real sifting time. You know, when it first come, and I thought that, well, the Lord did. He gave me a great expectation that the Lord would make this a real time of blessing, and certainly stirred me up spiritually. I felt much more closer to the Lord, and the word was very precious. But you know, as time has gone on, and I found this, that I could not keep alive my own soul. And that earnestness and that seeking of the Lord, that sense of death upon the road and the need to be prepared and ready and watchful and prayerful, sometimes it is there, and others it seems that such a hard, carnal heart that just acts as if there's no danger or no trouble at all. And you know, as I felt this, I felt we need the Lord to bless what we're passing through for our spiritual good. The thing itself won't work for good except the Lord bless it, except the Lord turn it about. We need the Lord to do it. May our eyes, your eyes, my eyes, be upon the Lord to make this thing work for good. The other thing is, when things happen suddenly, sometimes we can be so wonderfully helped to rise to the occasion and be helped along with it. But then when something goes on and on and on, that's very different. Now, maybe those of you that hear me, quite apart from the virus, the pandemic, you've known what it is to have something, a trial that has gone on and on. It might have started, and for the first few days, maybe a pain of body or affliction, or perhaps a wayward child, a disobedient child. But then it's gone on, and that trial has got more and more heavy. And the grace that you felt you had at the beginning seems to be just evaporating away. And you feel to be so at a loss and so low, so discouraged at times. And yet we prove the need of that continuing grace and help of the Lord. If we had any thought that a man could keep alive his own exercise, keep alive his soul, keep watchfulness, as the time goes on, that vanishes away. And it's a blessed thing if it brings us in more and more dependence upon the Lord, and brings us so that we don't despise dear brethren who at the time were being so wonderfully helped and lifted up, and they're in the depths and they're really struggling, struggling with unbelief, struggling with fears, struggling with doubts. We need the Lord to appear for us and to help us, especially in those things, the long-term things. And as we get older, hearing loss, eyesight loss, pains of arthritis, pains of infirmities, those things, they go on. And we need that grace and help. And But as we walk in the path of obedience, while we are here below, dear Job, he said, in all of his afflictions, all the appointed time of days of my time will I wait till my change come. It's the most solemn thing where there are those that despair and would take their own life. For the people of God to be in the spirit of dear Job, the Lord has put me upon this earth. He has appointed these trials, these afflictions, and I will wait in this appointed way, in all the feelings, in all the trials, in all the sorrows of it. But it is a path the Lord has appointed for me. And seek for grace and help from the Lord in that path. And you might say, but I've got no choice. It's not a matter of obedience in all the things that come upon me. Dear Job didn't have a choice either. But where it was a matter of obedience, our Lord said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the path of obedience is in that spirit. Thy will be done. Yes, if it be possible, we pray that too. But is a seeking to be submissive and humble before the Lord in the path that we go. We see and we prove the changeableness of the heart of man, how quickly we change. We need the Lord to make these things also work together for spiritual food, to feed us, to open up parts of the Word of God that hitherto have been completely shut to us, that we haven't really seen and known. You think of what is exhorted for watchfulness because of our soul, because of the enemy, the adversary that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Well, we're told in a natural way to keep distance from people because of the virus, to keep all the time mindful of where we are, who we're with, who we're seeing. Are we that watchful in a spiritual way? Our souls are worth much more than what our body is. And may we learn through these things in that way, in the experience that we're going through, to actually be taught in a spiritual way. We think of the fellowship with others. Some of you, some of us, may find it very hard. 64 days or so we've been under lockdown. Many have had to stay in their own homes. Certainly our lives have been greatly curtailed. But what of dear Noah? Noah was 375 days in the ark. Until he went from the time he went in to the time he came out. 10 days more than a year. With all of his household and all of the animals as well. Why was he in the ark? Because of obedience. If he hadn't have obeyed, he'd been destroyed with the rest of the world. But the path of obedience wasn't a smooth and easy path by any means. And in going through this, small in a way as it is that we are walking, has made me really look at Noah's case. What a path he walked in that way. What about separation from the house of God? We might have read many times the Psalms like Psalm 84 and how the psalmist longs for the house of God. The sparrows will be there, but he's not. As it made us to then value the house of God, the experience of it, the obedience to worship and to gather together. We trust we still obey in that way. But the feeling sense of the loss, we feel that. And it brings us into fellowship with some of the people of God that also have been separated in that way. The path of our Lord, that he came from his Father in the glory with perfect sinlessness. He came down to this world. How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? And it was by obedience. separated from his Father's house. We're separated from the house of the Lord. We hope one day to be brought back in it, but has it ever made us to think of the path of obedience of our Lord for 33 years to be away from the blessedness of with his Father? The pathway of the people of God is to be by experience, and the paths that we walk in will be determined by either our obedience and the consequences of that, or our disobedience and the consequences of that. But it is much better, as we walk in a path of obedience, to have a clear conscience before God and to know those things, as the Apostle Paul walked out, those things that have befallen and those things that have happened, but be able to say have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. And we pray it will be that in this time. But don't ever think that because we are the children of God, then it will exempt us from a path where we actually, physically, mentally, really feel what we are going through. And may be a help to some. There may be some of you, even in the matter of the Lord's house, and what keeps you from walking in the Lord's ways is the thought of being baptized and being brought beneath the water, and is something you greatly fear to actually have to experience. And may the thought that our Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience, he actually had to experience death, which is what baptism sets forth, buried with him in baptism unto death, and risen again in newness of life. There is then an actual experience, whether it be painful, uncomfortable physically, in actually obeying the Lord. But the issue we must leave with the Lord and ask that the Lord would truly bless us in a path of following him, following our dear leader, following he who, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. How much are we learning, and learning in a path of obedience through this present situation, what you may be in your families and all that concerns you. The Lord bless the word. The Lord make these things to bring us closer to him, to have fellowship with him, and to walk in his ways. When we physically are unable to do, maybe we put that off and now physically we cannot. But if the Lord will, one day we will again. And may it then be that vows and promises that have been made now are most lovingly followed and kept. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening, and Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 6:30. Let us close with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek but seek in vain? Shall I ask and not obtain? Hymn 964.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.